You're listening to a Day1.fm show.
Pick My Brain is the podcast where founders pitch me their startup and I try to give them some useful advice so they can connect better with potential co-founders, investors, media, and of course, customers. My name's Alan Jones and I was a founder myself for about 15 years, and after that an angel investor for another 15 years, so yeah, old. Some of my ventures have been successful and some failed disastrously, but I like to think I've learned a thing or two along the way, and maybe some of that can help you. So if you'd like to learn how to tweak your pitch, subscribe to the Pick My Brain show now, wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Today's podcast is brought to you by AuthSignal, the fraud automation suite. Drop in, step up, multi-factor authentication challenges anywhere in your customer journeys. Visit AuthSignal.com.
Welcome to FinTech Fun. FinTech Fun is a podcast where Australian fintechs come to share their stories.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the FinTech Fun episode, I'm joined by Paul Wyngarth, CEO and co-founder of Slip on the Line. Paul, welcome. Thanks very much for being part of the series.
Hey Chris, a pleasure to be here. Love the show.
Paul, thanks, mate. You're in Sydney, are you, today?
Yeah, down here in Sydney. Nice, rainy, windy weather down here in Sydney. So, battening down the hatches.
Battening down the hatches. Long weekend here in Brisbane as well. Beautiful September day in Brisbane. Feel like I need to go out and about just to be outside. But, mate, Slip, now we caught up recently at Intersect, albeit briefly, as part of a social function there, mate. That was the last time we caught up. But I've been following the Slip story for quite some time. Do you want to give the listeners a little bit of a background on what's going on with Slip and how it's evolved over the last couple of years?
Yeah, absolutely. There's lots going on in the broader fintech community. But, in our side of the fence, it's been all systems go. Going way back to the initial originations of the platform, we obviously were one of Australia's first fintechs to be backed by all four major banks. So banks are obviously a critical part of our network, but we also recently we went live with NAB last year, and we're just in the middle of another one of the tier one banks integrations at the moment. So we're excited to bring Slip Smart Receipts to the broader Australian population very shortly.
Paul, on that topic, right, having all four big four banks on your register, how did you go about managing that, firstly? Has anyone else done it since then? And secondly, like, you know, the edge that these banks and large companies want to get, but also wanting to be on a level playing field, how do you go about managing all that?
Yeah, look, it is a unique position we find ourselves in. I don't believe there are other fintechs that have the blessing and the backing of the four majors. And I suppose the reason we find ourselves in such a unique position is that the way that the product and the solution that we're building around, you know, standardizing smart receipts, not just digitizing paper receipts, but bringing them into the smart world, requires standardization and collaboration across the major banks and beyond. You know, obviously the four banks have significant coverage of the Australian population, and that's a good place for us to start. But, we have ambitions to extend Slip Smart Receipts to all other banks in the Australian ecosystem, but also offshore. And I suppose, you know, the reason we've been able to, you know, create this consortium between the banks is that smart receipts innately require standardization, because if you think about, you know, the proposition where a customer can tap their card as they normally do and near instantly they'll receive a fully itemized tax receipt or smart receipt, we call it, a slip smart receipt inside their banking app. The receipt itself is, the utility of the receipt as we know it today is obviously used for claims, whether it be a return claim, a warranty claim, an expense claim, a tax claim, and so on. So it's a legal document. And you know, for example, if a customer wants to come back into a store to return an item, the merchant themselves needs to have a consistent receipt experience as the customer does for that return process. So it requires the standardization, as I've mentioned, and for that standardization to occur, we need the collaboration across the banks and really one provider to deliver the standard across all these different banking apps to their customers. So as I say, it's a unique proposition in itself, hasn't been done before in this market. We're pretty well placed, I think, in Australia to really lead the world when it comes to smart receipts. Mainly because of the fact of, you know, the low fragmentation on the bank side, given the, as I mentioned earlier, the coverage the four banks have, but also, you know, Australians are very much built the muscle memory of tap and go technology. You know, we're one of the world leaders when it comes to contactless payments and digital payments, and we're slowly seeing the end of the end of cash, which is good for our business and good for the broader ecosystem. Australia is just a really great breeding ground for this type of technology to, one, build a network through that industry collaboration, but also Aussies love adopting new tech, and you know, we're definitely fortunate that this is our home ground.
Yeah, very, very interesting, and obviously there's the endorsement of the big four banks that want a piece of Slip, which is actually, you know, in its own right, very flattering. Paul, when I think about paper receipts in my head, I think a very tiny piece of paper that comes out on every transaction. Then I think in my head, oh, actually, I wonder how many receipts are issued a day in Australia. I don't know if you've got any data on that, but like, you know, one piece of paper times, you know, every millisecond or whatever it might be, there's a big market there. And I was just thinking to myself, what, has that been the only solution for 10 or 20 years? And it's just we've grown up with that, that there hasn't been any innovation at all?
Well, you're spot on. I think the stat is around about 20,000 kilometres. So I don't have the count, but I have
half marathon, yeah, basically.
Which I believe, again, don't quote me on this, but 1,000 half marathons. I think it's from Sydney to Perth and back in one day. That's you strung all the receipts together. That's a lot of receipts. And 95% of receipts are non-recyclable. So pretty much all receipts are non-recyclable as well. So because they're printed on thermal paper and they're toxic to touch. They've got BPA toxins embedded in the paper. So it's a big problem for, you know, obviously the customer experience and the missed opportunity to bring banks and retailers together with their customer. But it's also a big cost and a lot of mindless waste on the environment as well. So, you know, to answer your question around why hasn't it been done before, the simple answer to that is that, you know, it requires for this new technology to take place. As I mentioned earlier, it requires that collaboration across the industry to become a standard, because you know, you need to have that consistent experience. But we find it absolutely crazy that in, you know, 2022, moving to 23, that you can tap your watch to make a payment, but you still get handed this big long toxic piece of paper.
Yep.
It's complete madness. And not only, as I mentioned, like, you know, the vision for Slip is to power the world's most convenient transaction experience. So very simple, clear direction we want to head. And, you know, receipts are very much just the start. So solving this problem and fixing this problem around, you know, digitizing receipts and bring them into the smart world is sort of first base. But if you think about what that can enable, and, you know, for retailers, we really want to help them turn the end of a transaction into the start of a customer relationship, and using the receipt as a way to deliver a utility to the customer, but also to help merchants reconnect with that customer post-sale. Because once that customer pays and walks out, they've left your store, and the loop is open with that customer. So really smart receipts are a really good way to, you know, deliver, again, first and foremost, great experience for customers and make their lives easier, saving them time and money. But importantly, it's a really good opportunity. It's a big missed opportunity for paper receipts, but for smart receipts, it's a much bigger opportunity to really build a connection between the customer, the retailer, and obviously the bank. And obviously, given that the receipt is landing inside the customer's banking app, it means that they don't have to download another app. They simply pay as they normally do with the tap of their card, their watch, their phone, whichever form factor they choose to pay. And as I mentioned, instantly they'll receive a push notification from their banking app letting them know they have a smart receipt, a fully itemized, tax-compliant smart receipt in their banking app. And I know you've probably been there like me, no doubt, where you're looking up your banking app and you're going, what the hell was that charge? I'm trying to reconcile your spend through your transaction list. And obviously having that added level of transparency and detail with smart receipt is of value, and banks obviously really like that because it means less people calling up the bank and disputing transactions. Obviously, it drives better engagement for the bank inside their banking app and just creates a better all-round cardholder experience. So Slip is fundamentally built on the premise that everybody wins. You know, if one side of our network is disadvantaged, then they won't cooperate or participate in the network. So it's really important for us as the orchestrator or facilitator of the network to be able to provide balanced value across our ecosystem. But ultimately, the common denominator is the customer themselves. So that's our North Star.
When you talk about smart receipt, I'm interested to know how smart it is, like to the point where I go to Rebel Sport and buy a cricket bat for my 7-year-old son who's starting cricket. Does that appear on my bank transaction or say Rebel Sport? And taking one step further to that, you know, go to Woolies and do a swap for the week and there's 40 items. Do I want 40 items appearing on my bank statement?
Yeah, so it's effectively the way in which we've built the platform is it's a fully compliant, as I mentioned earlier, the tax receipt. So it has all of your itemized information. So if you want to return an item in store, you can return it. It has a barcode in the receipt as well.
Yeah, right.
You can set warranty and return reminders. So if you want to remind yourself to return an item. So it has all of that smart functionality built into it. But effectively, from an inside the banking app user experience perspective, the customer will click on a transaction and then they can then go one step further to view the actual receipt itself. And as I say, it's not just a better view of their transaction history, it's a fully functional receipt. So it replaces the need for paper receipts altogether, which is obviously a benefit. They don't fade, they don't get lost. They live where you'd expect them to live, which is linked to the payment itself. And then to answer your question earlier around, what are the other alternatives out there? Obviously, there are some stopgap solutions like email receipts, for example, ask you for your email address at the point of checkout. It really is clunky and it doesn't put the customer at the center of that experience. So as you can appreciate, there's a couple of challenges with those stopgap solutions. One is it takes a lot of time and friction at the point of payment, which is not what retailers want and not what customers want. Mm. Customers have to hand over their personal information in a exposed environment to a stranger. So that's obviously quite intrusive for the customer. And then the customer gets a receipt sent to them inside their email inbox, which probably ends up in spam a lot of the time. And, it's a static PDF of a receipt and it's not in a contextual environment. So there's a whole bunch of different challenges that we want to really solve for here with the smart receipt. But the smart receipt, as I mentioned, is very much the baseline proposition of what we're building out. In the early part of next year, we'll be augmenting the smart receipt to include what we call smart loyalty. So a little bit of a sneak peek into our roadmap here.
I always love sneak peeks, Paul, and exclusive information. Yeah. You know that, world first.
Yes, of course. Receipts, so the way the platform works effectively is customer pays, we receive the receipt from the merchant's point of sale system. We then match that receipt to the customer's bank card. So we've built our own plumbing between the merchant's point of sale system and the bank's transaction platform. And then we also, obviously, once we match that transaction to the card, the customer will receive the update inside their banking app, their existing banking app. So that's a really interesting experience for customers and delightful experience. But, you know, really what we're building on top of this is, as I mentioned earlier, the smart loyalty capability. Because as part of that receipt payload, we'll be able to receive also the customer's loyalty number from the merchant. So as part of the receipt payload that we get from the point of sale, if you've tapped your loyalty club card for that particular retailer and then you tap your bank card, we'll be able to then link those two together. So again, based on customer consent, everything we do, obviously data is the absolute paramount security and giving customers control, but customers will be able to opt in to activating smart loyalty, which will obviously create a really delightful experience by linking all the different loyalty cards. We know how fragmented loyalty is. It's a big pain point for customers, and also that fragmentation and the friction that's involved at that point of purchase is really painful for customers. And it means the merchant's loyalty program, the engagement isn't as high because of those two factors that drive down customer engagement. So we can get rid of loyalty cards, or the need to issue loyalty cards, and simply just link all of your different loyalty cards to your bank card and allow customers, so when they pay with their bank card as they normally do, they can tap and walk out of the store. They'll get their smart receipt, they'll get their loyalty points or rewards for whatever that program is with that merchant. And the merchant will get the customer's loyalty ID, and obviously they can engage with that customer directly outside the banking app, as they do normally. So it just really is streamlining the payment process and making it completely frictionless, but unlocking value where, again, everybody wins. And obviously banks love that as well, because it's creating more utility and value linked into their bank card, whether it be a debit card or a MasterCard.
Yeah, for sure.
A credit card.
Yeah, like that whole process, you mentioned the word streamline. I think that's extremely important to understand, or it's a very good describing word for that process of 6 to 12 loyalty cards that I might have sitting in my wallet that are plastic, that I either forget to use them because I don't get prompted, or I don't know that there's a deal on, or whatever it might be. But to have that process, you know, reasonably automated, I feel like is just a big win for the consumer, particularly as, you know, the loyalty programs are changing and the incentives are different and the incentives are becoming more personalized as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of our merchants that we're working with at the moment, the tag rate on their loyalty program is around about 5%. So only like 1 in 20 customers are actually tagging their loyalty ID at the point of checkout. And to your point earlier, you know, it's very fragmented. You have 6 cards. I have probably 6 to 10 cards. And the average customer has around about 5. So, you know, it's very fragmented, and it's clunky for customers, and that ultimately ends in a low take-up rate to programs, or a low engagement rate in programs. And merchants, they put a lot of resources into their loyalty programs, and driving that customer stickiness to the program is really, really hard, and this will help turbocharge their existing program. So we're not coming in and creating a new loyalty program ourselves. We're simply augmenting the merchant's own program by delivering a much more frictionless and engaging experience by linking it to the payment.
Mate, when we digress outside of thinking about loyalty and plastic cards and paper receipts and digitization and dealing with the big four banks, mate, what does Paul get up to switch off? What's your secret hobby, mate? As you know, I like exclusive news, mate. But what's your secret hobby in terms of of winding down, mate?
Well, I am an absolute sports fanatic. So you mentioned this weekend is a long weekend.
Yes, the NRL Grand Final.
I am very, very, very excited about the Grand Final this weekend. My team isn't in it, the Roosters, but it should be a great battle of the West with Parramatta and the Panthers going up against each other. So very, very excited. It should be an epic game. Hopefully we can get some clearer weather and see some free-flowing rugby league.
Mate, absolutely. It was a good old game last weekend as well with the old Rabbitohs just before half-time, looking good until just before half-time, and seemed to run out of gas against the Panthers. And also the AFL last weekend, Geelong-Sydney. Did you participate in any festivities there?
Yeah, no, I definitely saw that Bunnies game. It looked like they were on top, and then the last 30 seconds of the first half, a little intercept and went against the play there. But I pretty much follow every sport, to be honest. I love it. It's my escape outside of my day job. I went out to the Swannies game out at the SCG when they took down Collingwood in a thriller in the semi-final. That was absolutely epic. I was very fortunate. One of our investors invited me out to their corporate box, so I had front row seats. It was an absolutely epic.
Mate, they just kept on coming,
atmosphere.
The Pies. They kept coming. Eh?
I know. They've been resilient all year, very resilient. But it's important as a founder. You're so consumed day and night, every waking hour, thinking about how to, push the business and create and affect change in your niche industry. And you definitely need those little pieces of escapism. So sport for me is one. I like to get around the golf course when I have very limited time. I'm very excited for summer coming up here in Sydney. I've just moved down with my wife. She's actually an entrepreneur as well. She's got her own fashion label. And her business is growing really, really at a rate of knots. So we're both very busy.
Give her a plug, mate. Come on, what's the brand name? Come on.
For all the ladies out there, SA Studios. SA Studios. She's a really great brand, ready to wear brand, and she's stocked around Australia and also over in the US and Europe. So she's definitely a tough game, that fashion game. My hat goes off to her. She works incredibly hard, and we get limited time together. But as I say, looking forward to summer. We've just moved into Bondi and looking forward to getting down to the beach. Should be a great summer for us down here.
Mate, absolutely. I'm looking forward to the first day of the test match here in Brisbane as well, where I'll be attending as a Father's Day present for my wife, which is very, very kind of her. But it is a Saturday and it's in December, which is pretty unique at the Gabba, because we normally the first test and the first day of summer in late November, but it's sort of mucked around this year. Looking at the SA Styles website right now, mate, looks pretty good. Lots of different bags and jewellery and footwear, so plenty. Yeah. I hope I'm on the right site, but
it's ESSE Studios, SE
Studios. Oh, SE Styles, so there you go. Not on the right, SE Studios, there we go. I've just given someone else another plug.
She got a double plug there.
Double plug, there we go. Excellent, mate. Thanks for telling your story, Paul, about Slip, mate. Great to catch up recently in Melbourne for Intersect, and no doubt we'll be crossing paths at some fintech function at some point in time. Congratulations on what you've achieved with Slip. I have been following it for a few years now, and it's great to have you on the podcast, and look forward to keep following the progress.
Thanks, Chris. Really appreciate having the chance to come on the show. And as I say, I'm a keen listener, so keep up the good work on your side too.
Thanks, mate.
It's great to bring the community together. Awesome.
For more information on Sub11, jump onto our LinkedIn or email me, chris@sub11.com.au. Thanks for listening.
Listen to the Unfunded podcast, brought to you by the Day One Network and hosted by me, tech writer Joan Westenberg. We're sharing the no-holds-barred, untold stories from entrepreneurs who have decided to build a business on their terms. I'll be interviewing successful founders and operators on the grit and ingenuity it takes to build and scale independent startups without the support of traditional venture capital funding. Subscribe to the Unfunded podcast now, wherever you get your podcasts.